For Lyman Ag Supply in Lyman and the Family Vision Center here in Atlantic, this is Bob Evensee along with Grant Jelly, the conservation officer for Cass and Adair Counties on this morning's Conservation Report. Good morning, Grant.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
How do you like being up here in the northern country where the weather gets a little brisk and more than those nice balmy winters down here in Missouri?
You have to put on a few extra layers, I tell you, and the wind. The wind here is the hardest thing to get used to. The wind never seems to stop blowing, and that's hard on a person when they're outside a lot.
You bet it is that. This is the final weekend for the deer hunters. Tomorrow the season ends as far as the shotgun season is concerned. A little tough to be out there, particularly today when it's going to be maybe 10 degrees and the wind blowing, and tomorrow not a lot better. But they've been out hunting, and the first season results are in. How'd they do?
They did pretty well, just down slightly from last year, but you know, it seems that this is probably the case every year, but weather just never seems to cooperate. We had some kind of warm spells during the first shotgun portion, and then of course it went to single digits here, it seems like, overnight, so that's kind of affected things too. But during the first shotgun season, we sold roughly 64,678 deer tags this year, as compared to last year when we sold roughly 66,000. So the harvest totals for the first shotgun season here in Iowa were 25,154 deer. That's in comparison to the 2015-2016 season, which was slightly higher at 26,000 and some deer. So we were down just a little bit, about 6% in our harvest totals, and the same is kind of the same for archery season. The first half of the archery season, we generally sell around 89,000 archery tags here in the state, and to date, during that first portion, we've harvested 20,225 deer here in Iowa, as opposed to 22,000 last year. So down just a little bit, about 10% in the harvest, but you know, we've still got a few seasons left here. We've got, of course, the second shotgun season is coming to an end tomorrow, and then the late muzzleloader season seems to be one that's really gained a lot of popularity over the last few years. It's a little bit longer season. I think people like the fact that typically during the late muzzleloader season, deer are starting to form their big herds. So that's one of the things that, you know, hunters are always kind of excited about. If you see one deer, you usually see 40 or 50, and that makes for an exciting hunt. So we typically sell around 38,000 of the late muzzleloader tags, and of course we don't have any harvest information yet, but last year we harvested about 9,600 deer here during that late portion. So it's long season, got a lot of options for people, and it's one that a lot of people are taking advantage of now.
A lot of guys like that because it gets back to what the true deer hunt used to be like. There's no party hunting allowed, so everybody's on their own, and guys like that, the solitude, and it's a one-on-one situation, and no high-powered, well, I guess the inline muzzleloaders are pretty close to being high-powered, but
yeah,
it's a different deal.
It is, you know, I see a lot of people during shotgun seasons even using muzzleloaders now because, you know, one of the things you hear is they're just so much more accurate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can effectively shoot up to a couple hundred yards with a muzzleloader if you've got a scope on it. And, you know, try that with a shotgun and you're just slinging lead at that point. But they try it nonetheless. But, you know, muzzleloaders can be very, very effective. So, and you've got several different options of legal methods during that late muzzleloader portion. Also, you can use archery methods, you can use handgun, or you can use crossbow. So you've got some different options there. You cannot use shotgun during the late muzzleloader portion, obviously. That's kind of why it's called late muzzleloader and not a third shotgun season. But I've had some questions about that. But, you know, if you refer to page 24 in the regulations book, it'll kind of, you know, tell you some of those options we just talked about.
You bet. Talk about throwing lead in the air, using a handgun, that's kind of the same thing unless you've got a pretty long barrel type gun.
Yeah, it can be, and I see, you know, some folks using handguns. They worry me a little bit, and quite honestly, when you see these big groups of people pushing deer, and, you know, you've got a person that's got six or seven shots, and those things can travel a little bit further than slugs. And so, you know, just use caution when you're using those handguns, and, you know, make sure you're identifying that target before you squeeze the trigger.
Okay, let's change gears. Well, we can't go duck hunting because the duck season closed up on, I believe, Thursday. But, boy, the goose season is open, and you talk about geese. We've got them.
We do. They finally showed up, and, well, they've probably been here, I should say, for quite a while. But, you know, they're becoming more visible now because, obviously, with the single-digit temperatures, the water is starting to freeze up around here. And when the temperatures dip that low, they've got to feed a couple times a day. So, you know, you'll see them sometimes head out in the morning, but then it seems like a lot of times in the evening, right before dusk, boy, the geese just really come out of the areas, or if they can keep up, you know, they're keeping Lake Anita open right now a little bit. So they get up off that roost, and they'll go out and feed in the local cornfields, and it's really a sight to see. So, you know, that season will run through the 18th of January, so we've got some time to get some goose hunts in yet here in the southern zone. So, you know, get out and take advantage of that if you have the opportunity.
You bet. I learned that lesson about even evening feeding the first time I went out to the rock quarry to look at the geese. I thought, I'll go out in the evening, watch them come in. Ha! I just drove up, and they all took off. The whole pond empty now. So that was kind of a down. I went out there the other day, and a pretty good-sized flock of swans went out and headed south for down along Highway 6 where they like to be. But then I started counting them on the lake. There's got to be over 100 swans out there.
There has. I noticed that myself the other day, and they really like that cornfield right along Highway 6 there. And, you know, like you said, there's roughly probably close to 100 of them right now. Neat birds. You have to look at them, and they're just so massive in size. You know, they're the largest species of waterfowl here in North America. So makes you wonder sometimes how hunters mistake them for geese or snow geese, you know, because they're literally, you know, 4 or 5 times the size of a snow goose. And so I guess just maybe use a little bit of extra caution if you're hunting around those areas where there are the trumpeter swans, because the young ones, the cygnets, they'll be not the brilliant white as the adults, and they'll be more of a gray color. But, you know, they've still got 6 or 7 foot wingspan, and they weigh 20 some pounds. So just be real cautious when you're out there, and make sure you're identifying the birds as a Canada goose or a snow goose, and not one of those protected species of swans.
You bet. Swans have got a neck longer than most snow geese.
They do. They're huge, but they're a really cool bird. They kind of look uncoordinated in the air at times, but if you've ever heard they kind of, that's where they get their name, I guess, is trumpeter. They kind of have a unique call to them, and it sounds kind of wimpy for a bird that's so big, but they're pretty neat to look at.
They are that. And beautiful to watch them come into land. A plain old Canada goose is fun to watch come in, but
you
these
betcha.
Swans are really something else. So something to look for in the wintertime. Let's look ahead to something else and go fishing for a while. We went hunting. We went goose hunting. Now we can go fishing. Paddle fish licenses are available.
Yep, they are, and the season's going to run from March 1st through April 15th. So you can those tags went on sale on the 15th of December. We're going to have 950 resident tags available, and then 50 non-resident tags available. So each angler will be able to snag one paddlefish. They're a very unique fish in and of themselves too. You know, if you've never seen a paddlefish up close, it looks like something out of Jurassic Park movie. I mean, they've been around for, you know, eons. They're a very, very old species of fish. But yeah, I've shown people pictures of paddlefish before, and they ask you, what is that, and what country are you in, or what state are you in, you know, and they don't realize that we have those here, and they're neat, they're unique, and they're pretty popular among anglers. Kind of hard to call them anglers, I guess. They're snaggers, because you can't catch them like a traditional fish. They filter feed, and they just don't bite on a lure, so they have to be snagged. But you got some opportunities to get out on the Missouri River and do that as well.
Kind of looked like a fish that was designed by committee.
Yeah.
You've had some opportunity while you were down in Missouri to catch a couple of those.
I have, and in fact, I've caught some here in Iowa now too. But they're neat. One of the unique things about them is their skin is they're much like a shark. Their skin is very rough to the touch. It's almost like sandpaper, and they actually don't have any bones in them. They're what they call cartilaginous, which is like a shark. They don't have bones as a skeletal system. It's more of a cartilage type structure that they have. So they're just a very unique fish to see, and they can live for a very long time. So we're fortunate here to have them in the Midwest, because a lot of other states just don't have them. And you know, we see anglers come great distances sometimes to snag paddlefish in Missouri River or down in the state of Missouri. It's got some great paddle fishing down there, as well as Oklahoma has some really good paddle fishing as well. So it can be a unique fish that draws people from a long ways.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Kind of a tough sport. You got to work at it.
You do.
Throw and jerk.
You do, yeah. Throw a heavy weight with a big old hook. So, yeah.
And a fence post for a rod.
Uh-huh. You got it. Yep.
Coming up on the 1st of January, we hit this kind of quick. The off-road licenses are due on the machines that you're going to use on public land, right?
They are. So, yep, make sure that you're making sure that your registration isn't expired. That's going to be especially important with snowmobiles, because we're talking about some snow here this weekend. So there'll be some folks wanting to get out and get the snowmobiles fired up. But, you know, make sure that you've got them they're up to speed on the registration before you head out on the public areas.
Okay. Go camping in our county parks and state parks in some of the heated cabins. Go for a New Year's walk in any of our state parks. We'll talk about that later. But for now, for the Lyman Ag Supply and the Family Vision Center, both in our county, this is Bob Evensy along with Grant Jelly, the conservation officer for Cass and Adair Counties, on this morning's Conservation Report.